A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Romans. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is it possible that he, who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for the sake of us all, will not grant us all things besides? Who shall bring a charge against God's chosen ones? God, who is justifies? Who shall condemn them? Christ Jesus, who died or rather was raised up, who is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Trial or distress, or persecution or hunger, or nakedness or danger or the sword? As Scripture says, for your sake we are being slain all the day long. We are looked upon as sheep to be slaughtered. Yet in all this, we are more than conquerors because of him. Yet in all this, we are more than conquerors because of him who has loved us. For I am certain that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor powers, neither heights nor depths, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verbum Domini. Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. I will rejoice and be glad of your kindness when you have seen my affliction. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your kindness.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, if a man wishes to come after me, he must deny his very self, take up his cross, and begin to follow in my footsteps. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would a man show if he were to gain the whole world and destroy himself in the process? What can a man offer in exchange for his very self? The Son of Man will come with his Father's glory, accompanied by his angels. When he does, he will repay each man according to his conduct.
Verbum Domini.
Today, the Church, and especially the Franciscan family, celebrates the feast of Saints Peter Baptist, Paul Meeke, and their companions. And this diverse group of 26 martyrs gave their lives in the mission territory of Japan in 1597. And these saints include Franciscan and Jesuit priests, missionaries, and lay people from various countries, such as Spain, Mexico, Portugal, and Japan. And thus they show forth the strength of the Church in her diversity and in her unity. They present a unified witness to the grace and mercy of God and have contributed greatly to the Church's mission of evangelization. In 1549, nearly 50 years prior to the martyrdom of these saints, St. Francis Xavier had launched the first Christian mission in Japan along with his Jesuit companions. And he had successfully established a peaceable relationship with the Japanese lords, who often struggled against the Buddhist monks that held positions of power. And the Japanese lords thought that the introduction of Catholicism would help to diminish the power of the monks. And through the ministry of St. Francis Xavier and his companions, around 1,000 Japanese people accepted the faith and received baptism. And by the year 1580, almost 30 years after the death of Francis Xavier, the number of Christian converts in Japan increased to 150,000, and 200 churches were erected. Then, as is usually the case when Christianity is introduced to a new area, Christians began to encounter some challenges with the rise of a new Japanese ruler named Hideyoshi. As Christianity experienced significant growth, in the wake of St. Francis Xavier, the Buddhist monks were disturbed by this Christian proliferation. And the ruler, Hideyoshi, was sympathetic to the complaints of the Buddhist monks, who expressed their concerns about portions of land in Japan being handed over to the Christians. And this anti-Christian sentiment was only exacerbated by the actions of some Christians who had burned down several Buddhist temples and replaced them with churches. And so Hideyoshi issued an order in 1587 that all Christian missionaries throughout the country must leave Japan within 20 days. Fortunately, this ban was never fully implemented, nor was it enforced, and so the Christian missionaries were able to continue quietly with their work. In 1592, Hideyoshi had plans to invade and conquer the Philippines, a territory that belonged at the time to the Spanish crown. And when King Philip II learned of this plan, he desired to negotiate peace with Hideyoshi and designated a Franciscan priest named Father Peter Baptist Blasquez as his ambassador to Japan. St. Peter Baptist came from a noble family, was well educated, and was renowned for his holiness. And since he had already worked in the Philippines for several years and was familiar with the people and with the territory, he was a prudent choice to act as ambassador in this matter. And in June of 1593, St. Peter Baptist arrived in Japan with three other Franciscan companions and engaged in negotiations with Hideyoshi. And he was so successful in his endeavor that he even attained formal permission from the Japanese ruler for Christian missionary activity to continue in Japan without government interference. And this allowed for Peter Baptist to build several convents, churches, and hospitals as he and his companions helped to bring hundreds more people into the Catholic Church. And as a further testament to his effectiveness as a negotiator of peace, Hideyoshi even offered Peter Baptist an abandoned temple in the Japanese capital and granted permission that it be remade into a church. And as the Buddhist monks watched all of this unfold, they were obviously unhappy with the favor Hideyoshi was showing towards the Christians. Unfortunately, the peaceful coexistence between Hideyoshi and Christianity would only be short-lived. Only 3 years after the arrival of St. Peter Baptist and his companions in Japan, an incident occurred that would change everything and would eventually lead to the execution of 26 Christian missionaries. In 1596, a Spanish ship was wrecked on the coast of the Japanese island of Shikoku. And as the ship and its goods were being confiscated, the ship's pilot unwisely boasted to the Japanese authorities that it was customary for Spain to first send missionaries to countries that they wished to eventually invade and conquer. And when Hideyoshi heard about what the pilot had said, he acted swiftly so that he might send a brutal message to anyone who would dare attempt to overthrow the Japanese government. And so he ordered the arrest of the missionaries and condemned them to death. And converts were invaded by Japanese, convents were invaded by Japanese soldiers, and 26 Christian missionaries were rounded up. Among them were Peter Baptist and Paul Miki, a Japanese Jesuit brother. Their condemnation was confirmed on January 3rd, 1597, as they were led to the public square in the city of Miyako, and a piece of their left ear, of the left ear of each missionary was removed as a sign of their condemnation. They were then taken on a savage 4-week journey to Nagasaki, where they would be executed. And on the way, they suffered all sorts of sufferings and indignities from their captors, including insults, physical abuse, hunger, cold, and many other privations. They arrived in Nagasaki on February 5th, where crosses had already been prepared for them on a hill outside the city, reminiscent of the way our Lord had suffered and died on the cross outside of Jerusalem. And upon seeing the crosses, they did not cry out in fear, anguish, despair, or anger towards their persecutors. Rather, they gave thanks to God for the grace to die like Christ. And as they hung upon the cross, their executioners ended their lives by piercing them with 2 spears each. And the last missionary to be put to death was St. Peter Baptist. And as Paul Miki was hanging on the cross, he is quoted as saying, "As I come to this supreme moment of my life, I am sure none of you would suppose I want to deceive you. And so I tell you plainly, religion teaches me to pardon my enemies and all who have offended me. I do gladly pardon the emperor and all who have sought my death. I beg them to seek baptism and be Christians themselves." And likewise, in a series of letters addressed to his Franciscan brothers as he was being led to execution, St. Peter Baptist says, "For the love of God, let your charity commend us to God, that the sacrifice of our lives may be acceptable in his sight. From what I have heard here, I think we'll be crucified this coming Friday, because it was on a Friday that they cut off a part of each one's ear at Miyako, an event we accepted as a gift from God. We all ask you then, with great fervor, to pray for us, for the love of God. Dearest brothers, help us with your prayers that our death may be acceptable to the majesty of God in heaven, where, God willing, we hope to go." As we can see from the words of these remarkable saints, their martyrdom is made even more effective and pleasing to God by their outpouring of love and affection for their brothers in Christ, as well as the mercy and forgiveness that they showed towards their enemies. They have given us a solid witness to the love of Christ, not only by their lives and their works of charity, but also by their gracious deaths. And they serve as an inspiration and an example for all missionaries to persevere in faith, hope, and charity, especially those who experience suffering and persecution due to their Christian witness.